Fourth and final hour on this Thursday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, Willie D has left the building. Preds are heading out, heading to Chicago. Last road game in February. They'll be playing the Blackhawks tomorrow night, 7:30 puck drop. I'll have pregame for you at 6:30, and they'll be right back here Saturday night hosting the Columbus Blue Jackets. Don't forget, right after we talk to Elliot Freeman, who joins us every time on Thursday, or every Thursday at this time, excuse me, we will give away a pair of tickets to see the Predators and Senators here at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday. That'll be February 25th, so be listening after Elliot. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
It's snowing in Nashville, so it's a little weird. We don't get much snow here.
Snowing?
But yeah.
Holy smokes.
I know.
It's not sticky, don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't.
I got to
really
tell you, if I went down to Nashville and it snowed, I would ask for my money back. Like, I go down there to get away from this garbage.
I bet. No doubt about it. It's been an interesting week, hasn't it? So I'm just going to kind of leave it to you on what's been the most interesting part of this week, because there's already been a lot of activity, as we said here, on February 20th, and we know the trading deadline is Monday.
Yeah, I mean the run on defensemen the other day was the interesting one. I think the prices were more expensive than people thought they were going to be. There are still a few really interesting players left. I think we're kind of, I mean, there's always one surprise at the deadline, like somebody who comes out of nowhere to get traded, and I'm still kind of waiting for that. I think a lot of the names that we have out there are names that we kind of expect and have predicted that could be on the move. I usually think somebody comes that's a bit of a surprise. So I'm kind of waiting for that. I look at you guys. I mean, I can't figure your team out. Like,
we can't either. It's okay.
Elliot. That line is long.
You get in the playoffs a couple of weeks ago, but you've beaten Calgary, you fall out, you sweep a back-to-back with a really good team, you lose at home. The thing is, like, I think with you guys, I don't know if I would do a rental unless it was a really cheap price. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you do rentals when you think you have a chance to win or you feel you absolutely have to get into the playoffs. I'm not betting on you guys to win this year. Too inconsistent. Maybe you feel you need to make the playoffs. Like, one name I've heard with you guys is Connor Sherry from Buffalo. He played for John Hines in the American Hockey League, and I think he'll get traded. Team like yourself, maybe go back to Pittsburgh where he won a couple of cups. But, I mean, I'm still waiting for some of the biggest dominoes to fall, like Chris Kreider from the Rangers and maybe Josh Anderson from Columbus, guys like that.
I said yesterday on the show when we talked about it for a good while, I said if I were David, and David sat down with us Tuesday at the arena for his weekly chat with us, and I said if I were him, I would just probably stand pat. That would be me. Unless somebody blew his socks away on something, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I still think he's going to test on his UFAs, Smith, Granlund. Yep. If he's not going to sign them, I think he'll put them out there to see what he can get for them. I mean, boy, you know, the Granlund thing is really interesting to me. He's played great, as you guys know, since Hines took over. He's been a much better player. You know, it's a small sample size, but forces you to make a decision quick.
So you think Kreider, and it's interesting, so we've seen the Blues, as you mentioned, they've made a move.
Yep.
You know, Avalanche are interesting. The Bruins still have it. So there's some teams that feel that they're really good that really haven't struck yet. Vancouver obviously made their play. The Capitals have been in there. Tampa's been in there. So who do you think of the teams that are right in the thick of things that haven't made a move are going to be the ones really trying to strike first?
I think Boston for sure. The team Tampa has, Washington has. I think Washington might try to do something else. They've got a defenseman there, Nick Jensen, who just hasn't worked, and I think they could be trying to move him to free up some room to do something else. I know Washington, like, did talk to the Rangers about Kreider. I mean, that's not an easy deal for them to make, especially now that they've added Dillon on defense. but I know they were interested. And if they can move Jensen out, he carries about a $2.5 million a year salary. It gives them maybe the ability to do something. You know, the Boston, for sure. They didn't want to give up a first-rounder for Coleman. I don't think they're crazy about trading a first-round pick. But I think they're looking around. They're definitely on Kreider. I think if Josh Anderson from Columbus is healthy, they'd be around there. Palmieri for New Jersey, I'm not convinced he's going to get dealt, but I think they're around that. And Brandon Saad from Chicago, he's got a year left, and it's not 100% he gets traded, but I think, you know, Boston's around that too if Chicago wants to do it. So I think also Chicago's in a Boston's in a situation where their core is getting a little bit older. I think they kind of look at it like they kind of have to go for it. They're pretty good. So I think they will do something, even though it hasn't been done yet. And I think the Islanders, who are going out west and having a lot of trouble scoring and losing games, I think they're going to do something, too, to add some offense.
Interesting. Elliot Friedman on the line with us, Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, 31 Thoughts. And you're the perfect guy to ask this question to, because we were talking earlier about Adam Schefter, and this is a compliment to you. I mean, we kind of view you as the Adam Schefter of hockey. You're well tied in to the sport. You talk to a lot of people, and you just don't throw things out there to see if it'll stick. You've got good info, and you're talking to always the right people. And Schefter's no different on the NFL side for ESPN. And, you know, he's thrown out there that speaking with Jeff Darlington, and he kind of threw out Tom Brady to the Titans, a story that will not go away in this market. And we were just kind of talking about that delicate balance of you deal with a lot of agents and you deal with people in front offices, and you talk to a lot of people, and that balance of, you know, they may be trying to steer you a certain way or get a message out there, and how you handle situations like that.
Well, I think that, well, first of all, it's very nice of you to say. You know, I wouldn't put myself in the same class as Adam Schefter. He breaks a lot more stories than I do, but it is very nice of you to say. You know, I think that one of the things I tell people is, don't tell me something that isn't true. You know, like, there's a story I tell. I actually tell students when I speak to students. A few years ago, I had a general manager call me, and he says, I need you to float something for me. And I started laughing. I was like, what? And he said, you know, like, I want you to mention that this particular player is available. And I said to him, like, I'm not just doing that because, like, sometimes when this happens, like, you can really throw a thunderbolt through a player's family and things like that. So I said, you got to tell me that there's actual truth to this. And he goes, yes, there is truth to it. We're considering it. And I think our owner wants to kind of see what the reaction would be. So I researched it, and I found there was truth to it. And so I did it. And then a couple days later, I called and followed up, and the GM was kind of like, yeah, my owner didn't like the reaction. It's not happening. So, but the thing is, what I learned from that is, if there's truth to something, I'm willing to investigate it. But I always tell people, you know, don't lie to me. I know there's times where I think there's times like if I come to you with something and you deny it, and it eventually happens, I can deal with that. I don't like it, but I can deal with it because sometimes these guys have to lie. What I don't like is when you give me something that's clearly false. And that's what I always say to guys. Like, I understand that people always try to benefit, and people are always trying to spin you, and people are always trying to get their version out there. And I always say, as long as there's truth to it, we're good. It's when you're telling me something that's a flat-out lie that either I won't do it, or if I find out later, that we're going to have a problem. That's the way I try to approach it anyway.
Talking to Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. He joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock. So going back to something you said with the Predators and possibly David Poile shopping the UFAs, you know, I try and look at what this team is going to be moving forward, because we know it's been a down year and there are going to be changes this summer. Kyle Turris is playing better. So is he part of the change, or is he part of the future? I think that's a question that has to be answered. But let's say he does trade somebody like a Craig Smith. Could you see a scenario where he moves him at the deadline, get something for him, and then circles back around this summer to bring him back, since he's been such a key part of this team for so long?
Yeah, I do think scenarios like that, like, you know, like Montreal just traded a defenseman to St. Louis named Marco Scandella, and there are people out there who think he's going to end up going back. And I think there's more of a chance of things like that happening now because, you know, the cap isn't going up by very much. And also, you know, you don't become a UFA in this league until you're either 25 years old or you've played 7 years. And this is a year that's getting younger, a league that's getting younger and younger. And I think veteran players are more interested in, A, they know the squeeze is getting tighter, and B, they're also happy to go for situations where they know. So I think you're going to see that happen more and more. So I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but I'm saying it could happen. I would believe it's more likely to happen in this day and age than it used to be. You know, the other thing I think with your team is, if you guys don't make the playoffs this year, I can't see David Poile, who's made some of the biggest deals in the NHL over the past couple of years, sitting there and saying, we're coming back next year with the same group. Like, you know, now some of his players have clauses, and that depends on, you know, what, you know, players are willing to do and not do. And look, he's not trading Ellis, and he's not trading Yossi, and I really doubt he's trading Ekholm, but I could see him putting some of your bigger names out there. And not necessarily trading them, but just saying, okay, what's the market for them? Like, I could see him doing it for, like, a Johansson or an Arvidsson or a Duchesne, and not saying that he's going to do it, but potentially just seeing, okay, I can't come back with the same group. What are my options? And I think if you miss the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised if he did something like that.
Do you think that the Kyle Turris narrative has changed now that John Hines is in and clearly this system, whatever it is working for him?
You know, I think that you always, like, I always think it's easier to solve your problem than trade your problem. Like, I'm a big believer in that. One GM told me that once. I think it's a great saying. It's easier to solve your problem than trade your problem. So I think that if Turris starts to play better and you guys say, you know what, he's part of the solution here, that's better for you. But I also find it hard to believe that after this whole year of testing his market value, if he plays better, you guys don't continue to test it.
Before we let you go, you in your 31 thoughts, and we've had some fun with this, you brought up Shea Weber. Now, we know Shea Weber quite well. I know what kind of tough player he is, but I think we all had written him off that he was going to be out for the season, and then it was 4 to 6 weeks, and then all of a sudden he's back in the lineup. And I don't know if you've realized this, but if he doesn't miss another game, April 1st in Nashville would be game number 1,000.
Yeah, someone told me that yesterday. I only realized because of that. I mean, that would be so fitting. I mean, wouldn't that be the way it should be?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't write off Shea Weber because I'm too scared to write off Shea Weber. Like, you know, nobody's making the mountain man upset, that's for sure. You know, I'd love to see that. I think actually that's a national game in Canada. That's a Wednesday night, right? So that's the national game in Canada that night that I work on. And I think there are a lot of fans in this country who would love to see that happen. Shea Weber play game number 1,000 in Nashville. And I can only imagine what the reaction would be if that did occur.
That would be so awesome that night. By the way, if you ever want to get to Shea's sweet spots, talk to him about baseball, talk to him about dogs, you can talk to him about kids. Those are his sweet spots. He'll talk to you all day. The minute you start talking hockey, conversation gets a little bit shorter.
Fantasy football.
Fantasy. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Fantasy baseball, too.
Yes.
Yeah, he loves fantasy football and baseball.
There's a feature I've been looking to work on with him, and I think we're going to do it next year. But yes, I was told fantasy football is the big one for Shea Weber. He, as a matter of fact, there was one time I had the number one pick, and I sent him an email, and I said, just what do you think here? And he made fun of my keepers. He said they were garbage, and he said I'm a horrible – I think he basically joked that if those are your keepers, you're such a bad GM, it's not going to help you anyway. But he gave me some suggestions.
I think this was last year, right? He missed a lot of time last year, I believe. When they came through here, I was standing on the corner.
No, it was
Was that two years ago? It was 2 years
ago. I think you're right. It was 2 years ago, Elliot. I'm standing on the corner. I'm headed to the – it's directly across the street from the arena, and I'm at a light, and I feel somebody tap my shoulder. And I just figured it was, you know, probably a Predators fan or somebody wanted to talk about the game tonight. I turn around. It was Shea. And I was like, oh. I said, well, I guess you're not playing tonight. And he said, no. And so I asked, you know, we talked a couple of hockey things, and it was very short and brief. And then the minute I said, you know, how's the Mastiffs? You know, how's the family? We started just talking about it. And then, you know, the next thing you know, I had to go, Shea, I have to go do pregame. So good seeing you. I mean, you know what I mean? You get him off on something else, family, baseball, you know, he'll talk to you all day. He's a great guy. Great guy. I mean, he was certainly one of my favorites I've ever dealt with, for sure. And, man, it would be awesome if Game 1000 is here in Nashville on April 1st. So that's
well,
not a joke, by the way.
They're going to have to drag him off the ice to miss a game before then.
No doubt.
And we were just reminded of that right now.
No doubt. Elliot, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for doing this.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Elliot Freeman with Sportsnet. We'll come back and give you an opportunity to win some tickets to be in the building on Tuesday against the Senators. We do that on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game.